Praise the Lord. Revelation, the 19th chapter, starting with verse 4. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a mighty thunder, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. And this is my text for my message tonight. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride, a wife, hath made herself ready. I want to talk to you tonight on this. His wife has made herself ready. How many believes in the rapture of the church tonight? Let's see your hand. Amen. Jesus, take these words and use them for your glory. Father, we know it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, and we rely completely upon you, God. Give us that word that is needed tonight, and God, quicken our minds and our hearts, and quicken the people's hearts, Lord, to receive the word, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Brother Durham asked me to preach about a month or so ago that I knew I was going to preach tonight. And I went home, and the Lord had given me this just a few days before, and I sat down and I began to work on it, and I worked on it, and a few days later I worked on it, and I worked on it, and this week I've gone back through and I've taken out and taken out and taken out and taken out. And so before I preach tonight, I'd like to make this little announcement tonight. This program has been modified to fit the time period. John the Revelator was carried into heaven and was given a picture of the mighty things yet to come. Now, some people believe that the church is going to be raptured before the tribulation period. They're called premillennial. That's what we are, I trust. Some people believe that you are going to be translated in the middle, which are mid-tribulation or mid-millennial. And some people believe that you will go through the tribulation as the saints of God and be purified, and that is the post-millennial people. If you look at your Bible, in Revelation, the 4th chapter, in Revelation, the 4th chapter, you find that in the book of Revelation that John is called up into heaven. And when he is called up into heaven, he sees there, and God gives him a picture. And the Bible says that excuse me, that he sees the 24 elders already in heaven. The fourth chapter of Revelation, the church is already in heaven. The 5th chapter, he has a picture of the throne of God, and the Bible said, and God was sitting on the throne, and in his hand was a book which was sealed with seven seals. And the Bible tells us that in these seven seals that they were sealed. And no man in heaven nor in earth was worthy to open the seal. Not in earth or in under the earth or in heaven was able to open the seals thereof. And the Bible said, and John wept because there was no one. And the angel said, don't weep, for behold, there is one of the line of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. That the Lamb. All this tells us to let us know that God, that when God was sitting on the throne, the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, came, and the Bible said, and he took the book out of him that sat on the throne. Now, I don't know whether you have any people that believe that in the area of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one person. But let me tell you, if anybody can ever tell me and explain to me how that the Lamb of God, the root of David, the tribe of Judah could come, which is all talking about, who are they describing? Jesus. And the Bible said, and Jesus came and took the book out of him that sat on the throne. Now, who was sitting on the throne? And then in the sixth chapter, the Bible tells us that that he took the book, and there he began to take the seals and begin to open the seals one by one. And the Bible said, and then the tribulation period began. The first white horse, which was the representative of the Antichrist, came and began to start the tribulation period that we know. Now, the Houston Chronicle, the other day when I was wrote an article, some of you might have seen it. It said, what comes next? I'm seeing some of you shaking your head. Some of you might have seen it. What comes next? And a lot of us Pentecostal people, and a lot of us people, we believe that the Lord's going to come and he's going to rapture us out. Now, the word rapture doesn't appear in the Word of God, but we mean carried away. We're going to be carried away one of these days. The Bible said the trump of God shall sound, and we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. And we're going to be changed to be called up to be with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And a lot of people believe from there on out, we're just going to have a glorious time. But let me tell you something. There's some things that still is going to take place when we get to heaven. It's not just running around, dipping your feet in the river of life, eating the other 12 fruits upon the tree, and all those things. But one of the things that's going to take place when we get to heaven is that the saints of God are going to be judged. Now, we're not going to be judged according to our sins. Our sins have already gone before us. Amen. Come on. Amen. If you don't have your sins already sinned before you, brother, you better, because my sins have already been taken care of. I'm already on the way to heaven. I was listening to Brother Swindoll. Maybe I shouldn't get on this and take more time, but he was talking about eternal security. Now, I believe that there's eternal security in the Lord. But if I believe eternal security like he did, I'd come and get saved, and I'd give Brother Durham $50 and say, when I die, preach me a good sermon, amen, and you won't see me anymore. Why should I go to church? I'm already saved. I'm already bound for heaven. I can't be lost. Now, I know I'm radical, but I believe it that way, folks. Let me tell you something. The Bible said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Brother, we're not just saved, we're being saved every time. Brother, we come to church and we serve the Lord. But let me get on with my message here. Engelman gives 40 different possibilities of what's going to take place when we die. He's a neuroscientist. Well, let me tell you something. I can narrow that down to a whole lot. Because he never did stumble on the right answer. But let me ask you this question. After the rapture, then what? After the rapture, after we're raptured into heaven, then what's going to take place? Years ago, we used to sing an old song when we used to sing out song books. Greg. We used to sing a song, "We Shall See the King." Remember that old song? He said, "There's a blessed time is coming soon. It may be evening, morning, night, or noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the King when he comes." You remember that song? The bride has made herself ready. What's going to transpire? What's going to happen? Every one of us that are born again, when we are born again, it's more than just having our sins wiped away. It's more than just holding up a little finger and making a decision for God. Excuse me. The Bible tells us that every child of God, from the time of the day of Pentecost, that's when the church started. Amen? The church started on the day of Pentecost. And every child of God, from the day of Pentecost, all the way up to the rapture of the church, is going to make up the bride of Christ. And when you become a child of God, you become more than just a child of God. You become betrothed to God. What do we mean by betrothed? Engaged. How many of you folks was ever engaged? Most of you folks got married. You had to go somewhere. When you talk about the church, you always talk about the church as her. The Lord asked the disciples, "That whom say ye that I am?" And some said they were one. Some said, "You're Moses and Elijah and one of the prophets, Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Blessed art thou, Peter." He said, Petros. The word Petros is a masculine masculine gender of the word rock. Blessed art thou, Peter, the rock. But upon Petra, P-E-T-R-A, the feminine gender, will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So when the Lord talks about the church, it's always her and she. And when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's what? When He is come. And so we're engaged. We've been washed in the blood. And we are entered into a relationship of engagement to the Lord. What? Of expecting that one of the days, when you become engaged, what do you expect? Huh? Marriage. I was never engaged but one time. I know people have been engaged every few months. When Mary and Joseph, the Bible said that they were espoused or betrothed to one another, and it was so sacred back in that day that to break that engagement, they had to go through a deal where that he would write her a written divorcement. How would you like to be engaged to your hopeful wife and find out that she's expecting a child? Can you imagine the shock it must have been to Joseph? And after I did it, and after I had dated Ann a number of months, we had a kind of a shaky engagement. I was evangelist at the time, going in and out and coming home, and always glad to get home because I had something very special here in Houston. But finally, after a certain time, I bought a diamond ring, and I said, "Ann, I love you, and I wonder if you would marry me." And I put that ring on her finger. You know what I'm talking about? But I said, "Now, Ann, I don't want you to think this wrong. But I love you. But at the same time, I love Susie and Janie and Elizabeth and Joy and Sarah. Huh? Come on, listen to me. We are betrothed to the Lord, but I wonder how many things we love beside the Lord. You know why the Lord divorced Israel? The Bible said Israel is my wife, but you know why he divorced Israel? It's because that they were unfaithful. Come on. He divorced Israel because of their whoredoms, he called it. Because they were not remain faithful unto him. They were always loving something else. We might not call these all the names, but listen. Lord, I love you, but I love ball games. I love pleasure. And I love golf. And I love worldly entertainment. And I love TV. And I love self. Huh? But Lord, don't you ever think I don't love you. Come on, I'm trying to press a point here. Second Corinthians 11:2 said, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealous. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him." The Amplified said that I might betroth you to one husband. God wants us to be faithful to him, folks. You hear me? I believe God wants us to be faithful to him. When you become engaged, you know what that means? That means you stop looking. Huh? Roving eyes, you know. You become faithful to one person. And our love becomes constant one way to God. I found out that when I was dating Ann, I was never too tired to get over there. The only thing that made me make the day was to know that when the day was over, I could go home and shower and eat and go and see her. I didn't bring her tonight. A few days, just in a very short period, we'll be married 50 years. But I want you to know that was the one that I dreamed of every day. That's the one that I could hardly wait to get off so I could go see her. And I don't remember ever saying, "Ann, I'm so tired I can't come over tonight." Come on. I had somebody when I was pastoring said, "Brother Pinson, I can't come to church. I'm just going through some real hard things." I said, "That's why you need to come to church." My wife and I was out making hospital calls or something one day. It was in the car, I don't remember. But about the only time I ever listened to Rush Limbaugh is when I'm driving. We don't ever turn the radio on at the house, usually, while I'm there. But we was listening to him, and a number of years ago he came and said he was engaged to be married. And I turned to Ann after I heard it, and I said, "It won't last, because nobody will ever love Rush Limbaugh like he loves Rush Limbaugh."
How many know that to be true?
Nobody could ever love him as much as he loves himself. And I want you to know, brother, when it comes time serving the Lord, brother, we find out that the main person that we look out after, the main person that we care for, the main person that we give first credit to is me. Come on. I had a guy that I traveled with. He's now pastoring in Oklahoma City. Last time I heard. And we'd go to the bathroom to get ready in the morning, and he'd look in the mirror and said, "You good looking creature, you, but I can't help it." I said, "L. Wayne, you're vain. It's going to kill you." But let me tell you something, folks. One of the things that we have to love God for is that we got to love God more than you love yourselves. Come on. When I get off from work, I'd jump in the shower and I'd eat a quick bite, and away I'd go. I told people the reason I had to get married is because I had to save my health from just breaking altogether, running over to her house every night. But you know, it makes you, when you love somebody, you want to be with them. When you love somebody, any sacrifice you have to make is never too much. And you know what? It saddens me to see our church have half as many on Sunday night as they have on Sunday morning. Might not bother you, but it bothers me. "Lovest thou me?" Jesus had risen from the dead. And Peter said, "I go fishing." And eight people said, "I'll go with you." Eight of the disciples said, "I'll go with you." And they went out and they fished all night. And Jesus came that morning and said, "Little children, have you caught any fish?" And they said, "We've caught none." He said, "Cast your net on the other side." And when they did, they caught a whole net full. The Bible says 153. That just shows that every fish is important. and he brought them, and they pulled them to the shore and counted them. And then the Bible said Jesus already had fish up on the fire, and he said, "Sit down and eat." And after they had eaten, he turned to Peter and said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter said, "Lord, I love you as a brother." The word is phileo. We get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, from it. Peter, the second time, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter again answered him, "I love you as a brother." And he turned around and he said, "Feed my sheep." And then the third time he said, "Peter, only lovest thou me as a brother?" And he was saddened. For the Lord asked him three times. And he said, "Lord, I love you agape. I love you enough that I'll die for you." See, I want you to know, folks, we don't begin to love the Lord until we love him enough to give him our all. We don't love him any at all until we get to a place where we're willing to die for him. We're willing to be faithful to him, that we want to be with him. Huh? I love you on Sunday nights as much as I love you on Sunday morning. I love you on Wednesday night as much as I love you on Sunday morning. Brother Nick, I had a board member. He is also a Royal Ranger leader. And I began to miss him on Sunday night. And I came to him and I said, "Brother, I want you to know I've been missing you on Sunday night, you and your family." And he said, "We've decided to make family night our family night." I said, "What's wrong with Saturday?" He said, "It gives us the time to get together." I said, "Well, you know what, brother? I've got three children. For anywhere that I want them, I want them in church on Sunday. I want them to have a good Sunday school teacher. I want them to have a good youth leader. I want them to have a good pastor. I want them to be led." I'm glad to say that every one of my children are serving the Lord tonight and are working in the house of the Lord. And you know, folks, I'm so thankful for that. And I turned to my Royal Ranger leader. I said, "By the way, I want you to quote me the Royal Ranger pledge." Some of you folks don't have any idea what the Royal Ranger pledge is. I took LTC so I know what my Royal Rangers was doing. It says, "Ye honor church." Isn't that right, brother? You put God and church above everything else. And when he got to church, he couldn't say it. So it wasn't long before they left the church. And after my wife and I resigned the church, we went over to the church where he was supposed to be going. And we attended that church three or four times, deciding on where we wanted to go. And out of the three or four times, we never saw him. I guess that's having family night. The bride has made herself ready. How many of you folks are married tonight? Let's see your hand. I hope both of you go raise your hands. Well, I want to ask you another question. If you are married tonight, what was wrong with engagement? Weren't you happy engaged? Huh? Weren't y'all happy engaged? Weren't y'all happy engaged? Then why go to all the excuse to run an engagement to get married? There's something that's special. God wants to take you to a new level. A lot of people never think of this, but God is going to take you and I, when the rapture of the church comes and the marriage of the Lamb takes place, we are going to be elevated into a new level. And that new level is that we're not going to only be betrothed to Him, we're going to be married to Him. We're going to have a marriage supper of the Lamb. Why? Why do we want to get married? The Bible said, for this reason, I think I quoted a while ago, but for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one. When I was a pastor, anyone that got married, I'd get in my office and I'd counsel them. I was counseling one couple, and I said, I'm going to start with a young lady first. And I was telling her what reading Ephesians, and tell her what the Lord compares marriage to the church. By the way, if you got anything against marriage, God's the one that thought it up. And I was telling her, I said, the Lord says for you to love your husband and to be faithful to him and to be obedient to him. And that guy sitting over going. And I said, you just well get ready, buddy. I'm going to get on you next. The two no longer are two. The two of you are become what? One. I'm enjoying serving the Lord now, aren't you? Huh? I love coming to church. I love worshiping the Lord. I love reading the Bible. I love praying. I love the faith of God. But I want you to know, folks, that there's coming a time very, very soon when the Lord comes that things are going to get better. Come on. The Bible tells us in the 8th verse of the 19th chapter, it said, and they brought, and she was arrayed. Let me just read it here in the 19th chapter. And it says here in the 8th verse, said, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. How many of you ever read the story about the wedding supper? And then the wedding supper, they found them, and there was someone there that didn't have a wedding garment on, huh? What do you think he had on? I was coming to church and listening to the preacher, and the Lord just kind of dropped this in my mind. He probably had a wedding garment on, but his was off-white. How many of you ever go into a paint store and try to find a white? This is white. And you look at it and say, no, that's not white. This is white. I want you to know, folks, that the thing that's going to, that the Lord, the robe that God's going to give us is a robe of righteousness. And it's going to be white, white. You think you know what white is now, brother, don't you know? But when God put that robe on you, brother, it's going to outshine anything and everything you've ever seen. For it's going to be a robe of righteousness. And the Bible said, in that righteous, and it shall be white. And the Bible tells it, diakonos, which means righteous. 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 I want you to know, folks, the thing that's going to qualify you to wear that robe is because you're righteous. Come on. You're going to wear that robe, and that robe, everyone that has that robe on, is going to be righteous in the sight of God, pure and holy, made specially for the bride of Christ. Now turn with me to the 21st chapter, verse 9. I've got to hurry up. I was going to look, see when I started. And there came unto me, the ninth verse of the 21st chapter said, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, if I asked you, I said, come on now, folks, I'm gonna take you down and I'm gonna show you Brother Gadbury. I don't know very many people where you live. But I happen to know where these folks live. I've been in their house once. But I say, I'm going to take you down and show you Brother Gadbury. And I drive down to that road, and I stop in front of the house and say, there's Brother Gadbury. Now, what would you think? Bible said, and they came to New Jerusalem. Listen to what it has to say here. It said, and he carried me in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending from heaven, from God. Now, why in the world would he point his finger and say, that's the bride. That's a city. I hope you're looking and listening. If Ed and I got married, go back to my wedding here. If Ed and I got married and we went through the wedding program and we went through the reception and everything that follows wedding, and after we go through all of that wedding things of that day, and Ann got in the car and went home with her mama, my marriage would be in problems. Wouldn't you think so? If my bride went one way and I went another? Why? Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, he said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, what? There shall ye be also. I want you to know, brother, when the angel of the Lord took and said, I'm going to show you, and he carried him away, and he pointed to the New Jerusalem, why was he saying? Because that's where God dwells, and when we are married to God, that's where we're going to dwell. Now, you might not agree with me, but I'm going to tell you something that maybe stump some of you. Only the bride is going to dwell in New Jerusalem. He didn't say, I'm going to show you heaven. Look out here. Here's all of heaven. The walls of jasper and everything. He didn't say that. What did he say? He said, if you will find the bride, then all you have to find is where God is. That's where the bride is. Come on. How many of you love to read? Come on, you really enjoy reading. All right, I'm going to ask you another question. How many of you read the last chapter first? How many of you have ever heard of saying, I read the Bible and I read the last chapter and we win? That's kind of let down. I know we win. But what about the last? If you wrote a book, has anybody ever here written a book? I doubted it. I had neither. Brother John Hall, the great prophecy teacher, that is one of the greatest prophecy teachers of our time in the Assemblies of God. He said, I don't write books. Said, I'm not qualified to be a professor. Said, I just write the books I use. If you were writing the Bible, now the Bible, this is the Bible, the word for Bible is a Greek word which means biblion, which means book. When you say, my Bible, all you're saying is, this is a book. What do? We take to the front of it and we write on the front, Holy Bible, Holy Book. Now, if you had written the whole Bible and you came to the last bit of it and you was going to close, how would you close the Bible? Come on, think with me now. Don't leave me now. Think. How would you write the last chapter of the Bible, Brother Dick? Some of you folks, how would you write the last chapter of the Bible, Sister Durham? Would you write a threat? What come ye out to see, you varmints? Hypocrites? Would you be like John the Baptist? When you begin to read the last chapter of the Bible, the Lord tells us in the last part of the Bible, the 22nd chapter, verse 12 said, Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. And then the 17th verse starts out with a prayer. And listen to what the prayer is. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. You know what this is? If you know the reading, when I first read it, I begin to look in my Greek and begin to find it. The first part of it is a prayer. Can you imagine how the Holy Spirit feels today when he looks down on this old world and it's so full of, as Brother Myers told us this morning, of all the things that are going on in the last days, how the men, people be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and all these things that he brought out this morning. And can you imagine what the Holy Spirit feels when he's trying to draw the church and get the church ready for his rapture? The Bible said no man can come to God unless the Spirit draw him. The Holy Spirit is the only one of the triune Godhead that can be offended. Romans says, who shall separate us from the love of God? And he goes on to say, height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he can be grieved. And the Holy Spirit looks around, and this world is literally a stench of what it ought to be. And I believe that the Holy Spirit says, Pewee, Lord, come. It's a prayer. And the Holy Spirit says, come, Lord. But look at the bride. What do you think the bride wants? The bride is filled with anticipation. The bride is filled anxious to get married. They can hardly wait for the day to come. They're marking on the calendar, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord, come. And the prayer of the church is, Lord, come quickly. And then the next part of it changes tenses. And when you read the next tense, it, and let him that heareth say, come. Now this becomes an invitation. I look around this congregation and I believe that most of us are ready, but I believe the Lord just wanted me to make us all make sure that we're ready to meet the Lord. But listen, he said, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take the waters of life freely. This is the invitation. This is the last invitation that the Lord is giving to the church and to the world. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let he that heareth say, come. Let him that athirst say, come. See? Have you got family that's not interested about going to church? Do you have family members that are like Lot's children? Can you imagine what happened when Lot went and said, hey, you better flee from the city? I could hear these. The Bible said he had daughter-in-laws, sons-in-laws. That means that there was more. I know of families that have no concern about anything spiritual. One of the girls that I graduated at Southwestern, she got out of school and she married a multimillionaire. And she sent word to us, don't come and try to convert me. I was sitting in the service here. I remember way back when Ann and I was I guess first married, and I had brought a young couple that I worked with to church. And after Brother Manley had pastored, Sister Manley came and talked to this young girl, and this young girl said, I wish God would just leave me alone. Didn't that make your flesh crawl? But you know what the Lord's saying in his last invitation to the church? He said, if any man, he said, and let him that athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. And then in verse 20, he closes his book with this. I know that the people that I see here tonight, I consider as the cream of the crop. But I want to ask you a question. The Bible said, and the bride has made herself what? Ready. Ready. How would you feel if God would, if the trumpet of God would blow tonight? Huh? Would you be glad and say, come Lord Jesus? Have you made yourself ready? Have you ever tried to stay clean? I got a pair of white pants I hate. I don't even know what to touch, and there's a black spot on them. And I think sometimes, God, here you are, you're giving me this, that I'm going to have this beautiful robe. And the only way that I'm going to have it is going to be that I'm pure and holy. God, don't let me fail you, God. Don't let me fail you in my ministry. Don't let me fail you in my living. Don't let me fail you in the things that I do. God, keep me pure and holy, for the bride has made herself ready, huh? How many wants to be ready? Father, speak to us tonight. Holy Spirit, you said come. I pray that everyone that's in this congregation tonight, Lord, it's more than just being born again. It's that we are engaged, and God, we to be faithful, we have to love you above everything in this world. We got to be faithful to you above everything in this world. God, you've got to be first in our lives and in our hearts. And God, I see so many Christians that God is only a second thought. That serving God is only a second thought. That if they have something else to do, they have no objection to saying, God, I can't go to your church tonight. I can't serve you. I can't pray. I can't read my Bible. I can't do the things of God. Lord, I pray tonight that if there's people here, that Lord, one of the hardest things that we have is that we love you more than we love ourselves. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. If there's anyone here under the sound of my voice, Lord, I don't know, but Holy Spirit, you're able to discern that condition tonight. But God, I pray that everyone that's in this congregation, make us ready. Make us truly ready. Make us truly, truly ready to meet you, God, should you come tonight. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone here that would say, Brother Benson, I'm not certain whether I'd be ready if the Lord was to come tonight. Is there anyone here? I'm not going to linger, because I believe that we have some very, very fine people here tonight. Is there anyone here that would raise your hand and say, Brother Benson, I'm not really certain whether I'd be ready if the Lord would come tonight? All right, I tell you what we want us to do. I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to just tell God you love him and to keep you. I believe the Lord's coming, folks. I believe that we're going to see it come. I believe we're going to see the rapture of the church take place. Hallelujah. 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 Oh God, Lord, search every heart that's here tonight. My heart, and every heart that's here tonight. Try us, oh God, as if there be any evil way in our heart. Oh God, make us ready. Make us ready. Make us ready, God. Oh God, help us to be faithful in our service for you. Help us to be faithful in our love for you. Help us to be faithful, God, in our commitment to you, Lord, we pray. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, years ago, I believe about every other message that we heard from the pulpit was the coming of the Lord. And Brother Myers, when we get to church, first thing we do is come down and pray. I believe that when we stop hearing that Jesus is coming, that's a time that we begin to become lax in our Christian experience. Folks, I want to be part of that bride. I want to be part of that bride. Because when we get to heaven, listen, when we get to heaven and the marriage of the Lamb takes place, I want you to know, folks, we're going to be on a complete different level with God than we are right here on earth. For the two shall be one, and we're going to be one in Christ. In Ephesians, the Lord said that they may be one even as we are one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sister Durham dismisses us.